particular verses. It's Hebrews 11, so everybody's the faith chapter of the Bible. But it's tucked away in the middle of those verses is this idea that Abraham, Sarah, these other people would have had the opportunity to tap out, to go do something else if they had thought about it, if they had put their mind to it. But instead, through faith, they pursued, they were faithful, they endured, and God was not ashamed to be called their God. Which I think plays really well with the subject of today's sermon. So we're going to be spending today looking at the parable of the talents, which I understand maybe some of you talked about in Sunday school just a few minutes ago. So please don't fall asleep. I think, again, like this is just one of my favorite parables. I think there's a lot for us to unpack. So maybe we'll unpack some things that are a bit different than what you all talked about today. So before we get too far along, let's go ahead. We'll read the passage together. I'll pray, and then we'll get started. So Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. For it, that's the kingdom of heaven, will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one, he gave 5 talents, another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together this morning. Thank you for your word, Father, that reveals your will and your character and your salvation. Please help us this morning to be hearers, or to be doers of the word, and not just hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen. So, parable of the talents is the second in a series of parables where Jesus is painting a picture of what the kingdom of heaven will be like. The parable immediately before this is the parable of the 10 virgins who are waiting for the bridegroom. That parable is about faithfulness in waiting. Today, the parable that we're going to be looking at, Jesus illustrates faithful working, faithful endurance. Now, an example of this from life, a few years ago, a lady made the news. She died in 2016, and in one of these sort of the surprise millionaire next door things, she died with a fortune of about $9 million. Now, she didn't have a high-profile job. She was a business manager for a law firm. She had worked her way into that position by putting herself through school at night and working during the day. She started as an administrative assistant and worked her way up. She was she started there in 1947, and she quit just a few months. She retired just a few months before she died in 2016. She was there a really long time. She did not have a high-paying job, but there was one thing that she did. As the assistant, part of her job to her bosses was they would occasionally tell her, they would give her money. This was before the days of E-Trade and stocking and buying and selling stocks online. They would give her some of their money, and they would tell her to go down to a brokerage firm and buy this or that share, or sell this or that. Well, she realized that she wasn't smart enough to know what the right thing to do was. So she took their money. She faithfully did what they asked her to do. But what she also did was she took just a little bit of her money, and anything that they told her to do with their money, she did with her own money as well. And over the course of all of those years, that faithfulness to that strategy, the following of what her bosses told her to do, her savings grew until it became $9 million. Somebody you would totally not expect to have that sort of money. I like this illustration because of that commitment to faithfulness. Long term, it wasn't something that she did spur the moment. It wasn't instantaneous wealth. It was just faithful endurance following what her bosses told her to do. Today, as we look through the parable of the talents, we are going to discover three things. The first thing that we're going to discover is that the master knows his servants. The second thing that we are going to look at is that wise servants love their master and they follow his example. And then the third thing that we're going to look at is that unfaithful servants do not love their master. So, diving back into our text, verses 14 and 15, Jesus sets the stage for this parable. So point one, the master knows his servants. It says, Jesus says, the master calls his servants. These are servants that were in the master's house. He didn't call his neighbor's servants. So these were servants. They existed in his house for a reason. Their purpose was to serve him and to help him to prosper. He chose them to be his servants. The master then distributes to each servant a sum of money. Now, the exact dollar value, depending on when you do a Google search and what reference you use, you can come up with a vast array of dollar amounts. I'm not really worried about the dollar amount. But what is interesting is that essentially a talent had the value of a lifetime worth of work. So the first servant, the master gave 5 talents, 5 lifetimes worth of money. The second servant got 2 talents, 2 lifetimes worth of money. And this third servant got 1 lifetime's worth of money. 1 lifetime's worth of resources. The master did not treat the servants equally. That's apparent by the amount of money that he gave them. But what the master did that was incredibly fair was he gave each servant according to their ability. The master knew what his servants were capable of, and he gave the highly gifted servant 5 talents. It would have been unfair for the master to give the least gifted servant 5 talents. It would have been unfair for the master to give the most gifted servant 1 talent. The master treated his servants fairly. He expected his servants to look after his resources as he would have done. So the question is, what do we learn from how the master engaged with his servants? Jesus, as he's delivering this parable to the Jews, was speaking to a group of people who felt like, we're already in the kingdom, man. We were born to the right family. Jesus tells them that they were chosen, that they were chosen for a purpose, that they had a responsibility. For us, as non-Jews, Christians, living in Ohio in the 21st century, how should we think about the Master and the kingdom of heaven? Each of us have been chosen to exist. It boggles my mind to think that God, planning creation, thought, you know, creation would be incomplete if it did not have a Jacob Winchell. Now, it's not that I'm special. God had that thought about each one of us that have been born into this world. God orchestrated our lives so that we would all be in the same room at the same time on February 1st, 2026. God chose us, chose humanity to be his servants, but as Christians has chosen us and has brought us together. We can take comfort in knowing that our master knows us. Our master knows our weaknesses. Our master knows our strengths. Our master has entrusted us with something of incalculable value. Even the least gifted person in this room has been entrusted with the image of God. Each of us are created in God's image. And with that image, God charges us to go out into the world and to bring him glory. So even like the single servant, like the servant who was only given 1 talent, that talent is not worthless. He doesn't get out of jail. He doesn't get a get out of jail free card because he's not as good as a five talent servant. He still has an expectation from his master. So the master knows his servants. The second thing, now we get to a little bit further into the parable. The second thing is wise servants love their master. So the two servants, the five talent servant and the two talent servant, what do they do immediately after the master leaves? They follow their master's pattern of behavior. They immediately go out and begin investing the master's money. They knew what the expectation was. They go out and they start following the master's pattern of behavior. Eventually, the master returns. Now the parable doesn't tell us how long the master was gone. But from the story, it was long enough for the money to double in value. Now, I'm not very smart, so I look things up on the internet. And essentially, Google says it takes between 7 and 12 years to double your money. So the master was gone for quite some time. 7 to 12 years is a long time to be focused and diligent in one's labor. The two faithful servants doubled the money, and then they presented their work to the Lord. Just as each one of the servants was entrusted with a certain value that reflected their abilities, so also did the return on their investment. Doubling their money over this time could have only been possible through intentional diligence and focus. So how does the master respond? They present the results of their labor, and the master looks at each one of them and gives them a commendation. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. With this response, we begin to see a little bit the value of the master's estate. He gives one servant five lifetimes worth of money. The servant returns with 10 lifetimes worth of money. And what does the master say? He pats him on the head and he says, "That's nice. You've been faithful over a little. 10 lifetimes worth of money, and that's just a little." The master with the two servants isn't rewarding their success. He isn't rewarding that they doubled their money. He's rewarding faithfulness. The difference in the reward between the two servants is because of their ability, not because of their faithfulness. What I think is interesting is as the master gives them this reward, he says, "Enter into the joy. I will set you over much." The servant has completed years and years worth of labor for the master. The master says, "Well done. You've been faithful over a little. I will put you in charge of a lot." There is no vacation. There is no retirement in God's economy. The master invites them in, but yet they are still to continue bringing the master glory. They are still to continue working for the master. Enter the joy of your master. What is the joy of the master? Jesus, in another parable, describing the relationship of the master and the servant, asks the religious leaders, hey, when you eat, does your servant come in and eat with you? Or do you eat, and then the servant comes in after you, and then your servant eats after he served you? And the religious leaders echo that that is the appropriate order of things. But here, in this case, we have the master inviting the servants in to his joy, into his presence. They are offered the opportunity to continue to live in the master's house, to enjoy the fruits of the master's possessions. The master elevates their status as servants. He grants them the right to enjoy what they have worked so hard for. There's also joy in continued work. Before we move on to the unfaithful servant, I think it's fitting for us to stop for a moment and to ponder the faithfulness of these two wise servants. Looking at our own retirement accounts or our savings accounts, I think we can all appreciate the difficulty of getting ahead. You get a few dollars saved up, you're starting to think, hey, okay, there's a little bit of cushion. Then the dishwasher goes, or the air conditioner goes, or you need a new car. It's like, dang it! And all of a sudden, that cushion that you thought you had dips back down. It would be unfair of us to just skip over these two faithful servants. They have a legacy of faithful obedience to the master. Through ups and downs, they continued. Another thing that we ought to point out is their hope that the master would return. If the master was never going to return, there would be no reason to do anything. But they had a certainty that the master would come back to them. We also have a certainty of the master's return, a final accounting of how we invest our lives and look after what God has entrusted to us. Paul gives an account. He says, I've been shipwrecked, I've been beaten, I've been stoned and left for dead. And yet he writes to the Philippians from a Roman jail, talking about living with an expectation of the hope of Christ. Why did he endure? He endured because of the hope of Christ. James encouraged believers to be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it. I have worked on a variety of farms. There is much patience and there is much hard work. But the farmer does it because of the payday at the harvest season. Looking through the New Testament, there are many commands for the saints to endure, to persevere. There's promises of trials and tribulation. Are we just gluttons for punishment? Should we just endure? The beatings will continue until morale improves? No, that's not what God is asking. God is saying, keep your eyes. This is not all that there is. The master will return. There is a hope and glory an eternity with God. What a better way to be hopeful than to be found living well. When the master returned, I imagine that there was great rejoicing. I can only imagine that the two faithful servants are like, master's back. Like, man, I can't wait until we get called in to give an account because I'm just going to totally blow him away with what I've done. Imagine having good news and you're waiting to share it with the one person who will appreciate it. A couple weeks ago, I was walking around in Home Depot and got some good news that I was just incredibly excited about. And so I wanted to share it with my wife, and so I started to text. I'm like, no, I'm not going to text. It's better than that. And then I thought, well, I'll just tell her when I get home. That'll be easier. And then finally, I like, forget about it. And I just called her because I couldn't wait. I knew that she would feel the same way about the news that I did. I imagine the two faithful servants felt that way as well. Because of their success, these servants were looking forward to their master's return with an attitude of faithfulness. Just as so, each of us have been uniquely enabled by the master. Each of one of us is called to be a faithful servant. We are living in a weird space. The master left before we were born. Jesus told Thomas, you believed because you saw the holes in my hand and my side. He says, blessed are those who come after who haven't seen these things. So how do we live faithfully? Thinking through our life, each of us has a responsibility. If we want to borrow a financial term, God has given each one of us an incredible gift, but we have a fiduciary responsibility to invest that gift, our life, for his kingdom. Now, it would be incredibly unfair for him to expect us to do things, to live according to a standard that we did not know about. But God has given us his word. To stick with a financial theme for a moment, God gave us a fund prospectus. He's told us how to invest our lives. He's given us a pattern of behavior for us to follow so that we can be successful. So that we can be faithful to him. Each of us are at different stages in our management of what God has given to us. Some of us, it's a royal us, are senior adults. Nearing the end, the master is close to the door. Finish strong. You're so close to the reward that the master has for you. Continue to live in obedience. Mentor, disciple the younger people in the church. Admittedly, you probably can't serve in the same way that you used to be able to. We recently started playing Sunday evening basketball at our church. An individual came out to play basketball and fell and ended up having to have hip replacement. At 77, basketball with a bunch of teenagers might not be the best way to choose to spend an evening. You can't serve, can't do the same things that you used to be able to. But there are new ways that the Lord is opening up for you to be able to serve and to be faithful. For parents, the years seem long. Might have a child at home for 20 years, rounding a little bit. One lifetime worth of value, raising up two lifetimes worth of value, raising up, in our case, four lifetimes worth of value. There are many times, speaking from experience, when you don't know what to do. But stay faithful. Parent in hope. The master is coming. That child, that person that you are spending time in, investing time in, will answer the master's call themselves. Now, if you're younger, your parents might still be responsible for you. But as you grow, as you get older, begin to think, what do I need to do to be successful for the master? What patterns of behavior do I need to learn? Read the Bible. Study his word. Build good habits. Now, there is one difference between us and somebody who manages a fund on Wall Street. We never know what the balance is. We never know when the master is returning. For each of us to die the death of the righteous, we must live the life of the righteous. Faithfulness to God will be rewarded. Eugene Peterson has said, faithfulness is a long obedience in the same direction. The servants showed their love to their master through their faithfulness. That brings us now to the unfaithful servant. An unfaithful servants live only for themselves. Now, we've established that the master gave the servant a significant amount of money, and the master left. The servant, while the two wise servants immediately go out and invest their money, what does the unwise servant do? He goes out and he buries his money in a hole. What did he do for all of those years that the master was gone? Whose benefit did he live for? All of those years, he ate the master's food. He wore the master's clothes. He lived in the world that the master provided for him. This unfaithful servant used the fear of the master's expectation as an excuse to not perform. His explanation to his master shows that he really didn't know his master at all. In fact, he accuses his master of unfair business practices. The unfaithful servant was then cast out to live with those who were not of the master's house. The master gave an accounting. The master looked at him and said, "You have not lived as my servant. Get out." Thinking about this unwise servant, the master gave him a solution. The master said, "Okay, maybe you're not the smartest guy in the world, but you at least could have put the money in the bank, right?" The servant could have chosen at any moment to start investing that money. Until the day that the master walked through the doors of the house, the servant could have done what was right. Imagine how the conversations with the three servants went. The three servants periodically checking in, giving status updates about the progress of their investments. The two faithful servants could just imagine them saying, "Oh man, this was a bad quarter. I lost some money. Maybe this caravan of camels came back and it was raided by bandits. But this was a good year. We got ships that came in and I sold everything and I tripled my profits." Then they turned and they would look at servant number three. And maybe the first couple of years that the master was gone, servant number three would be like, "Well, you know, things are going all right. Just choose to be a little bit vague." But then as the years go on and he continues to see the progress of the two faithful servants, maybe servant number three quits attending those periodic meetings of the servants. He looks at it and he says, "Oh, I'm so far behind, I could never catch up." Maybe he engages in a little bit of self-loathing and he's like, "Oh, I'm not as good as these other servants." The third servant's response to the master and his pattern of actions reflect a love of self rather than a love of the master. Refusing to invest on the master's behalf showed a lack of trust in the master's judgment. The master gave to each according to his ability. The master had supreme confidence that the servant could take that one talent and do something with it. Perhaps the servant felt like he didn't measure up. And in one sense, he's absolutely right. Servant number one got five talents. Servant number three got one talent. So he's not as skillful. However, he still had an incredible sum of money. The master didn't say, "Achieve as much as servant number one." He just said, "Be faithful." Maybe he refused to invest out of fear of losing the money. He felt like he took the safest path. Sometimes we can feel that way. Life can be scary. There are times when the way is unclear, when God is asking us to do something and we don't understand the decision. One of my favorite quotes, movie quotes, is from The Matrix. And it's the first one. The rest of them are kind of crap. But Neo goes to see the Oracle. and he's confused. And the oracle tells him that you can't see beyond the decision that you don't understand. And I have found that to be true in life. But if we can't stop there, God does not give us all of the answers. God does not tell us what the outcome of our obedience will be. He does not tell us about the pathway to his return. He just says, be obedient. So we can be afraid of risk, just like that first servant. But it's important to remember that our life is not our own. A missionary, Nate Saint, when asked about why he was obedient in going to South America and enduring hardship, and he said, people who do not know the Lord ask why we waste our lives as missionaries. They forget that they too are expending their lives. And when the bubble bursts, they will have nothing of eternal significance to show for the years that they wasted. The unfaithful servant was fearful, afraid, did not love or trust the master. And when the master returned, the servant had nothing to show for his time. Sitting here today, you might be living in a period of unfaithfulness or doubt. You may think poorly of yourself, that you are a one-talent servant, that you have not been entrusted with anything significant. You might feel that you are not significant, but you are an image bearer of the Lord. You might be sitting there lost, asking, how do I become a faithful servant? Maybe as the father of the demon-possessed boy who pleaded with Jesus, I believe, help my unbelief. The first thing we must do is to look to the pattern of the Master. Look to God and to his word. Second, you're not alone. We live in the age of the church. Join with other believers in serving. You don't have to invent ways of serving for your own. There are opportunities to join. Third, don't wait for all of your questions to be answered. Obey with what God has given you. God will not reveal to us everything that we want to know, but he does reveal to us everything that we need to know. There are souls waiting to hear about Jesus on the other side of your decision to obey. You may be living as an unfaithful servant. It's not too late. If you're sitting here breathing, there is still time to respond to the Master. Don't waste your life.